We're going to continue our Bible study on the promises of God this morning. I'd like you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 9. Last week we looked at the promise of the Messiah. We not only saw the coming of this Messiah in his birth and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also looked to the reason for this promise, the reason that it was made, and the complete fulfillment of his purpose as the promised Messiah. By seeing this promise fulfilled, we also saw the results. The Messiah was to be called Emmanuel, God with us. The angel told Joseph the name of this child, Jesus, to name this child Jesus, for he shall save his people. That was the result. He came to this earth for that very reason, to save his people. And that's exactly what he did, completely and to the uttermost. I never get tired of hearing that very fact. I never get tired of telling you this wonderful news. Jesus saves. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous of the righteousness of God in him. Today we'll take a look again at Isaiah 9:6, where we saw before, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is my subject matter this morning. The Prince of Peace. This too is also part of the promise, is it not? I mean, if he's the promised Messiah, is he not also the promised Prince of Peace? Taken in context with this one who is the Messiah, who will be known by many names, as we see. His name is Counselor, Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. To confirm that very thing, in Psalms 29:11, you don't need to turn there, it says, the Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace. So where is this peace that Scripture is talking about? Where is this peace that it speaks of? I don't know about you folks, but I don't see much peace around here. All you got to do is open the newspaper, turn on the news, talk to a neighbor, and we hear those that bicker and fight between each other, don't we? We in this country think that we have this great peace, that we've had this great peace for such a long time. We thought we had peace, what, 15 years ago? The Lord proved us wrong, didn't he? There is trouble all around. Not only in the world around us, we have these tendencies so much to just see this little place that we stand in. There's a whole world out there, folks, and there's no peace on this world. There's trouble all around us, but not only is there trouble in the world around us, is there not also trouble inside? Do we not fight the trouble of sin in our flesh every day? I don't know about you, but I agree with Paul. My sin is ever before me. I battle the flesh in a terrible way. No, when I look around the world around me, I don't see any peace at all. You see, that's the problem. The world around us is cursed. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, if you would, please. Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. What do we see next? Cursed is the ground that you walk on. Everything. Mankind itself is cursed. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all deserve the wrath that is to come. And when it comes, judgment day, everything will be burned up. Nothing's going to be saved. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Cursed is the world around us. There can be no peace in a cursed thing or with a cursed thing. Not only that, but we also see the words of our Lord himself in Luke 12:51, where it says, Suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. So why is one of his names Prince of Peace? Well, as we saw in Genesis, we, all of mankind, have sinned against God. God, who is holy, so holy that he cannot look upon mankind in their natural state. In fact, in our natural state, we are enmity. We are enmity. Does that sink into everybody here? I was against God. Until his grace was shed upon me in my life, giving me the ability to see God, who he is in Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, I shook my fist. He would not have ruled over me. Even though he did, I didn't think so. I was enmity against him. This holy thrice God must punish sin. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And that's where Christ comes in. Turn to John chapter 10. There is only one way to have peace with God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the peace that he is prince over, that it is speaking of, is not the peace in the world around us. It's the peace between us who don't deserve it and God. We can never in our own flesh fully pay for any of the sins, let alone all that we have committed. The wages of sin is death, eternal death. And Christ, the Prince of Peace, is our mediator, our go-between. He goes between us and God, between his people and God Almighty. In 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 5, it says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. God became a man, the man Christ Jesus, establishing himself as a perfect sacrifice, a perfect offering, a perfect substitute for all of those that the Father had given him before the foundations of the world. Before there was ever a twinkling in the sky, God the Father gave God the Son a people to love. God the Son walked perfectly, he who was without sin, establishing a perfect righteousness for his people. He came to this world to give himself for his people, and he satisfied God's justice completely, making peace between God and his elect. In Romans 8:1 it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, we read, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to be in the presence of God Almighty, and that is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd of his sheep. Today's world, you'll see and you'll hear many, 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 many ways. But there's only one. I know there's a lot of churches that preach Jesus Christ. But most of them like to add their own stuff to it. There is only one way. That's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Anything that you add to that, anything that you do to contribute to that, destroys it. It's called works. It's either works or grace, folks. And grace means that we do nothing. We earn nothing. There's nothing we can do. Just sit back and enjoy God's grace. Look at verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Interesting. God kept his own sheep, even when they were in darkness, running from him, shaking their fist at him, from hearing the others with a heart of truth. I didn't believe those other religions when they were taught to me before. Why? Because God was protecting me with him. He wouldn't let me hear it and think that that's the truth. Now, some of you may have gone to other churches and attended other religions, and then at one day, all of a sudden, you heard the truth, and you look back on it now and say, wow, what in the world was I listening to then? God was keeping you in one way or another from hearing that and brought you under the hearing of the truth eventually to know the difference between the two. Look at verse 24. Then came the Jews around about him, Jesus that is, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, says, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He went around raising people from the dead, giving ears to those who couldn't hear, giving sight to those who had been blind from birth. Have you ever seen that miracle happen? Huh. Not in reality, but in spiritually, I have. I've actually watched my own wife being called out of the darkness. For the first time, seeing the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. Remember the first day you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of his gospel? I remember I was so confused. I was like, man, what's going on, John Reeves? What happened to the guy that was out partying 2 weeks ago? What happened to the guy who would take a Sunday and go watch football or take off and go do something, anything? Now he wants to go to church. He wants to hear more about this Jesus, this one who is God Almighty, this one who works all things out according to his own counsel. What happened to the other guy? What's going on with this guy here? I didn't understand it. But I began to hear the word of God. Now I can't live without it. I like to have it all the time. Pastor Gene was telling me yesterday, he was filled so much with blessings from the Lord, listening to the gospel being preached. Even preachers need to hear the gospel preached at times. Remember that. We don't know who will be our next pastor. The day will come when our pastor decides to retire, before when the Lord takes him out of this pulpit and he brings someone else here, Lord willing. We need to remember, our pastor, no matter who he is, needs to hear the gospel preached occasionally. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If you're in Christ, then your name was written in the book of life long before anything was created. The love of God was bestowed on you before you ever were formed in your mother's womb. The Lord says, "My sheep hear my voice." That's because God the Spirit has come and is coming to his people now, cutting away the old stony heart, replacing it with a heart, replacing that old heart of rebellion, the one that shakes its fist upon God, and turning them towards the God of Scripture. God changes our will. The will that was bound to sin is set free. We are no longer in bondage to the flesh. This is great news for one who sees themselves as a sinner. One who sees themselves as a sinner according to Scripture. Have you seen yourself described in God's Word? Dead, trespasses and sin. There is life for a sinner. And that life is in Jesus Christ the Lord. If you're looking to anything of this world to find peace, and that includes anything of yourself, your good works, your decision, your free will, then you're never going to find it. You may think you have peace, and boy, I'll tell you what, isn't that what this country of ours thinks? Isn't that why 9/11 was such a big surprise? Because we thought we had peace. You may think you have peace, but if it's of this world, then it's a facade. It's a fake. It's not real. The ground we walk on is cursed. Because of sin, everything that we see shall burn up. So where do we go? What do? There is peace, but it's not of this world. We who belong to God by the covenant that was made between the great three in one, we are in this world, but we are not of it. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our peace is in the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus our Lord. Stand with me if you would, please.